I want to thank you once again, Lord God, for the word. Lord, we thank you so much for this word that you put in Eddie's heart. We ask that you would anoint him, and not only him, but even right now, I pray you would anoint the teachers for the junior and senior youth, Lord God, as they go to their class, Lord God. And Father, we want all the ministry that comes forth today to be something that brings life and power, Lord God. Father, bless the word, Lord God, today. Bless Eddie as he brings it forth right here in the sanctuary, and bless the teachers as they bring it forth with the junior and senior youth, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you for Amos and Ashley coming here today to share their testimony, Lord God. And Lord, we just pray your blessing on all that you're doing. We thank you, Lord, that you are working, Lord God, that you are a living, moving, breathing God, that you are building your church, that great things are happening no matter what it looks like on the outside. When we look around, and sometimes with the state of things right now, some people can easily get depressed. But Lord God, we pray that instead that we would be encouraged by you, Lord God, encouraged by your Holy Spirit, encouraged by one another, Lord God, that we would know that, Lord, you are still in control, that our God is in control. Our God is King, is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Bless this message and bless our children as they go in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, good morning. And I'd like to also say a welcome warning to those that are joining us on the internet. I'd like to just have a quick shout out to my family in Arizona who I called yesterday and told them that, unfortunately, you're 3 hours behind us. You're going to have to get up at 7 in the morning to watch. But they said they would. So, hi. And I also want to give a quick shout-out to Betty. We all know Betty. She's recovering from surgery. And I just want to say, Betty, you said this works. Betty, Jesus loves you. She told me Pastor John did that to her. It really touched her heart. So, anyways, I'm excited to be here this morning. The Lord has put a message on my heart. I mean, it was so close to home because it just recently happened to me. I mean, just recently. The message that he put upon my heart, I want to share with you because it was so personal to me and it helped me that I'm sharing this so that it might help you. We all know that the church title theme for this year is called Proclaiming God's Glory. Amen. And we should be proclaiming God's glory in every situation, right? Good, bad, sad, happy. We should always be glorifying God. Well, the title of my message today is Proclaiming God's Glory While Going Through Our Trials. Yeah, easier said than done, amen? If you would please open your Bibles or your devices, as I look to the youth, to the book of James, chapter 1. I love James, but he speaks a hard love, kind of like Pastor Don back there. You know, it's a good word when you read it, but after a while you're like, ouch, man, that really hit home, you know. He kind of puts that, like, hard love right in your face. But sometimes we need that to motivate us, amen? So I'm going to read James 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, by a quick show of hands, who is not lacking anything? That's what I thought. Me especially. Now, remember, God didn't promise us that we wouldn't ever suffer in this life. On the contrary, in Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, we all know that story, right? We know what Jesus suffered. We know what he had to endure for us. And he's telling us that if we want to be like him, because I always look at Jesus' life as the blueprint for Christianity, right? Every day we should become more and more Christ-like. But man, sometimes when it comes down to trying to pick up that cross, whoo, we know that we can't do it in our own strength, amen? We have to rely on the Lord. So when I look at the cross in my life, it's like a trial. Because we're going to go through trials. I'm going to tell you that right now. I just did recently. Now, in saying all that, God has told us that he will walk through our trials with us. He'll be right by our side, and his love, his grace, and strength will be enough to see us through it. And Brother Amos here was just talking about this COVID thing. It's crazy. You know, I do kind of feel like I'm in prison sometimes, you know, having to be in the house. Remember when we were on lockdown for a while there, and then now everywhere you go, you got to wear a mask, and, you know, you got some people that can't wear them, like my wife. You know, she has medical issues where she really can't wear it. So every time she goes into a store, they stop her. It's like the FBI, you know, get up against the wall, let me see your medical pass, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, really? Come on. The part I don't get is if you're wearing a mask and that's supposed to protect you and I'm not, well, what are you afraid of if you got the mask on? But anyway, I'm getting off subject here. Woo. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And to me, the word that pops out is never. Never. We all know what never means, right? It means it never happens. It ever never happens. In our good times, in our bad times, in our heartfelt times, in our lonely times, God will never leave us. He's always there. Now, in stressing that, I have two stories to share today. The first one, who's already laughing? I haven't even got to the punchline yet. The first one I have to share, it's really funny. And you're going to crack up at this one. And I got Pat Stevens here, longtime member of this church, him and his wife Darlene. But Pat, if we can go back in time, I mean back when I was a little bit thinner, had a little bit more hair, you had a little bit darker hair. I always consider Pat an admiral now. You know, I've never been in the Navy, but I just figure when you've owned a boat, you've owned a few boats, you've been on all the Great Lakes. I mean, he's even been out to sea, shark fishing. I mean, this guy's done it all, right? But I'm going back to when he was just a captain. You know, he had that little black hat with a little anchor on it. And if you guys know Mike Colmorgan, he's come to this church as well. We kept bugging Pat. We were bugging him. Pat, when are you going to take the boat out? Pat, when are you going to take the boat out? Pat, you going fishing today? So one day, out of the blue, Pat calls me at home. He goes, Eddie, I got some free time. If you want, we can go out for a couple hours. The only catch is you have to drive. I said, oh, I'm there. I said, hey, Mike's here with me. Can he come? Yeah, get him too. There's another crybaby kept bugging me to go fishing. So me and Pat, we jump in my ghetto van. I call it a ghetto van because it looked good on the outside, it looked good on the inside, but it didn't have no air. And it just happened to be like 95 degrees that day. So me and Mike, we jump in the van, we drive over to Pat's house over there in Allen Park, we pick him up, flying down the freeway. I think I was doing like 80 because I figured the faster I get there, the more fishing time we'll have. So we're flying down the freeway, all this hot air is blowing on us. We get to his boat. He says, hey, stop at the store. I want to get some ice for the cooler, blah, 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 some bait. So me and Mike, we hadn't ate dinner yet, so we run in there and we get a 1 liter of a Faygo Mountain Dew. We each get one. We get like some cupcakes and cake, you know, chips, something like that. So we get up to the boat. We get it all set up. We get on the boat. Me and Mike are sitting on those chairs where your back's to Pat, and Pat's taking the boat out. You know, you got to go through the shallow end, and then he gets out in the open. He's flying out there. Me and Mike, man, we're dying in the heat, man. So we open up our pops and we're just guzzling them. I mean, we just guzzle these babies down. Big mistake. So we get out there. Now, Pat, he's an avid fisherman, man. He got the planer boards out. He's got four rods going off the back of the boat. And see, I told you, he's a captain, right? He knows the area. God knows, and Darlene, you've had this happen before. He runs over a school of fish. I mean, rods are just popping left and right. Pow, 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 pow. We're like, oh, wow, I'll reel this one in. He's taking up. Oh, another one. Grab that one. I mean, we were nonstop. All this time, Pat's driving the boat, and he's looking back, and he's like, hey, man, can I get a turn back there? I'm like, what? He goes, Eddie, come on up here and drive the boat. I never drove a boat before. I felt like Gilligan. Yes, sir. I jump up there, and I go, Pat, what do I do? What do I do? He goes, you see the Fermi 2s out there, the towers? I go, yeah. He goes, keep the nose of the boat headed toward that first tower. I go, all right. So I'm driving, and Pat and Mike are back there pulling in. Yes. So it's a little bumpy, right? So I'm sitting there driving. I'm like, oh, this is cool, man. Start cocking back a lean. Like, can anybody see me out here? So I'm looking, and I'm looking back, and they're still pulling in fish like crazy. And I'm looking at the nose of the boat, you know, and it's going up and down, up and down. Then all of a sudden, like Pat said, the waves started coming. It started going side to side. Side to side. I'm like, ooh. I'm looking back, and they're still having fun back there, and I'm like, well, I don't feel too good. I get off the captain's chair, and I'm walking like this. And Pat's looking. He's like, well, what's going on? I go, Pat, I don't feel too good. Off to the side I go. Can't even stop. Mike's sitting there with a rod in his hand. He looks at me and he goes, So here's Pat holding six rods. All got fish on them. He's like, hey, what are you guys doing? Nobody's driving the boat. We're probably going in circles. They're probably out there, what is wrong with them guys? Are they drunk or what? Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible. Pat had to just get the rods and throw them down in the boat. He jumps back up in the captain's chair. He starts taking us back in the shore. Oh, my gosh. And what I wanted to emphasize is, Brother Pat was going through a trial right there. He's got two guys heaving off the side of the boat, heaving on his boat. He just wants to get us back. We get back to shore. I swear, we tied off on the dock. I get off the boat. I'm like, I'm kissing the ground. I look back, and Pat goes, thank you, Jesus. So he was giving glory to God that he got us off his boat. He got us back to shore. That was crazy. You know, come to think of it, Pat, I don't think you ever invited me out again after that. You're right. So, that was funny, but it's, you know, it happens. You know, it just happens. You know, Pat handled it, got us back. But the story, that was a funny part of going through a trial and giving God glory. But in Romans 8, 17, 18, it says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Oh, is that not awesome or what? I mean, so when we go through these hard times, and trust me, there's some hard times, but we need to look back at this scripture. And this is nothing. What we're going through, what we're suffering through, is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. And not only that, I learned a valuable lesson that when we go through the trial and we come through it, like Amos was saying, that God being our our captain getting us through the storm, it gives us the right to give him glory. And then people see us being glorified through that trial, right? And it builds their faith. I wrote here, look, church, we can almost all agree that we don't like trials. I know that I, or should I say my flesh, really doesn't care for them at all. It would be compared to a dad. I wrote, because mothers have more patience than dads. Trying to feed a baby spinach or squash. Ugh. I mean, I remember I used to do that with my kids. I thought when they cried, you shoveled more in because their mouth was wide open. Only to have them get more mad and go, and then I'm wearing it. Somebody said, yep. but as it says in James and Romans, it is an overall good thing for us. The trials, it matures and strengthens our spirits and also allows us to glorify our Lord for others to hear and see. What a witness that is. You know, we're going to bring glory to our Father, and we'll bring that glory so others see it. Because, they, you know, in most cases, they know you're going through something. But when they see you come out on the other side, you made it unscathed, and you're glorifying God, it gives them hope when their trials come. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That jumped out at me. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We read this. We believe the word of God in our hearts. Yet, like most of the saints before us, we fall short. When trials come, we want to be like James and consider it pure joy. But to be honest with you, though, more times than not, we are not too joyous when we're going through those times. Our own flesh and our minds and the old enemy can always seem to find that weakness in our armor. And before we know it, we are being deceived into doubting, fearing, and worrying to the point that we have no peace in our life. And we want the trial to end before it even really gets started. We want to back out. But we know that God has taken us through it for a reason, right? We need it. We need to be battle tested. I say this time and time again, you know, our armed forces, we got one of the most strongest armed forces in the world. Why? Because we constantly train. We constantly train. I talked to a friend of mine that was on an aircraft carrier. Those flights, you know, you see those jets fly off those aircraft carriers? They do that 24/7. 24/7. I said, well, why? Well, because you never know when they're going to be needed. You know, we can't say, well, we can only fight in the day. We only train our flights during the day. No, those flights travel day, afternoon, nights, storms, high winds. They're going to be ready for anything. And that's what the Lord's trying to do for us when we go through these trials. He's trying to prepare us for anything that may come our way. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. So when we start feeling like the water's getting too deep, you know how you go out on the beach and you're on your tippy toes and the water's right here? Or you feel that drop-off when you walk out and all of a sudden it's a drop-off, you get a little nervous. Why? Because it's unknown. You know, you're going into the unknown. When we go into the unknown, we get nervous because we don't know what to expect. But God will be there in our time of trouble. You know, I don't know why, Anthony, brother, but I was thinking about your website that time where Anthony over there, he owns his own business, a window washing business. Man, he has a picture of him, like I think it was on the top of the Renaissance Center, hanging out a little board. Like, brother, you got to have some faith there, brother. I'm telling you that right now. He came up here that one day and gave a little teaching on how he does that. But I mean, he'll tell you, one bad knot, one bad rope. You know? But he can't worry about that going out there every time. He's got a job to do. He's trained to do his job properly, take all the safety aspects of his job. But he trained to do that. Without the training, he wouldn't know what to do. He'd probably fall. And that's why, there you go, that's why we need the training so we don't fall. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Church, when the trials come, we need to hold on to His Word. We need to get into His presence and pray. I'm about to share this next story, and this is, I mean, of course, Pat, that was a true story. We couldn't make that up. But this just happened to me just recently. I'm talking within the last couple of weeks. I was trying to be joyful through it. You know, I was being encouraged by my pastors and the leadership of the church and others in the church, my brothers and sisters. But on the inside of me, I was a little worried. I was a little fearful of the unknown. I'm going to start off by saying I kind of felt just like Abraham. Before the Lord called him out, he was comfortable where he was in his life. I, too, was comfortable in my life. I had a very good job at General Motors. I drove a fork truck, which is not that hard. I had been on that job for 7 years. Made a lot of overtime on that job. Abraham had it made. I felt I did, too. Now, I knew in advance that our plant was going to shut down for 1 to 2 years for retooling. We were told by General Motors to put in temporary transfers to other plants we would like to go to. Well, fortunately enough, with my seniority, I picked Toledo, which was pretty close. You know, driving's like 45, 50 minutes. It ain't bad. I talked to the job placement center. I talked to this guy named Dan. And he said, "Oh, yeah, I see you on the list, man. You're going. As soon as they put in a rec for the next amount of people, you're there. You're right at the top." I'm like, cool, man. I was all excited. I went home. I was telling Brother Ray, I'm going to Toledo because he used to work there. That's where he started. And my wife and everybody, and everybody's all excited. Everything's going to work out, right? Well, that wasn't quite the plan. The next thing I know it, I'm told I'm going to Lansing. I was like, what? Lansing? I didn't even put in for Lansing. That wasn't even on any of my picks. Well, lo and behold, Lansing was going to start a third shift. And there was like 700 of us. So they said, "You're all going to Lansing." Now, granted, still in Michigan, you know, but I did that before when I was younger. I was out in Lansing for 2 years. And I'm like, I was telling Pastor Don, "Man, I don't want to drive an hour and a half." Because this plant was actually past Lansing a little bit. So it was going to be like an hour and 30 minutes. I'm like, man, and they're working overtime right now, so I might be working 9-10 hours. So that's an hour and a half there, work 9 or 10 hours, then an hour and a half trip back. I'm like, man, that's a long day. So Pastor John said, "Well, let's just pray. Let's pray you get Romulus." "Well, where is that?" "It's right down the street." "All right, we'll pray." Well, lo and behold, I get another letter. I'm like, all right, Lansing has been canceled. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Doom cartwheels. Sounds good, right? No. Get another letter. Another letter. Wentzville, Missouri. I'm like, what? Wentzville, Missouri? And then my son, Nick, the philosopher, he says, "Well, Dad, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways." I go, "Yeah, I know, son." And he goes, "Wow, there might be somebody out there that's waiting for you. The Lord wants you to minister to him." What could I say? I'm like, How do you remember that scripture? You don't remember nothing else. I couldn't say anything. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right, son. And all the while I'm praying, Lord, isn't there somebody around the block I can pray with? I got to go all the way to Missouri? Well, the problem is my wife has MS, okay? She was diagnosed with it back in 2005. So for the last 15 years, all her doctors, all her physical therapists, her neurologists, they're all here. I'm sitting there saying, I got to go to Wentzville, Missouri, and I'm going to be going to work. I don't know what shift I'm going to be on. They had three shifts. And where am I going to find the time to research for her to get her the proper care? So again, I pray. By this time, I'm about crying to Pastor Don, Pastor John. Yeah, I got to help me. Well, my kids, believe it or not, they had a meeting amongst themselves. My kids are all older now. My youngest is 35. Calls me up on the phone. Dad, we got to have an emergency family meeting. Oh, okay. I'm going to be the mediator. Oh, okay. All right, we'll be over. 6 o'clock. I'm like, all right. So I tell my wife. My daughter calls and says, we're having tacos, right? What? Whoa. You call the meeting at my house and I got to make dinner? Sure enough, I had to make dinner for these bums. I ran to Meijer's, got more meat, lettuce, tomato, cut it all up to a grated cheese. We had tacos. Anyways, we start the meeting. And my daughter's about to get remarried. And what they came up with is, because I couldn't afford the two payments, you know, I had to be taking care of my house here and then rent an apartment down there. And they were willing to move into our house and take that over while we were gone, because it's only going to be temporary, like a year. Well, we were ready to go. We had it all lined up. Pastor John, Old Faithful, he's like, I don't think the Lord's going to have you go. I said, well, I hope you're right, brother. I hope you're right, but I'm still praying. He goes, keep praying. I'm still praying. Well, get a letter in the mail. Canceled. Praise God, I'm back to do a cartwheel. Got canceled. I'm like, yes. See, my faith is being built up, right? Anyways, God started opening the doors. This was God. I know this was God because this just doesn't happen. And I hope none of them are watching online right now, but my union president calls me, right? And he's giving me inside information that they're not supposed to give out. Of course, he knew about my wife, and because we tried to get a hardship from my wife. So he knew what was going on. And he directed me to do some things. And then the guy that's ahead of the placement center where they send you out for jobs, he calls me up and tells me, you need to put in for this, 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 and this. I said, okay. So I do that. And I wound up getting Flint, which I know it's still an hour away, but at this point, I'll take it, you know. So I'm going to Flint, and it's a Flint engine, which, brother, I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but, you know, Ray works at Rimless Engine/Transmissions, and his fingernails don't even get dirty. I'm going to Flint engine, so I'm going to have it made. You know, granted, I got an hour ride, but I'll take it. Knowing I ain't got to break my back when I get there. And then, as soon as I accepted that, everybody else was getting sent out of state. You know? And at first, I felt kind of bad because I know some of the people. You know? But the thing that I did is when I contacted them to find out where they were headed, I gave glory to God in all of it. I made sure that they knew that this was God and it was God only, because only God could have done that. These guys don't do that thing for everybody. I mean, they were telling me, please keep it under your hat. We can get in trouble for this. But I think just like God used Pharaoh, right, to have that hardened heart so he could perform his miracles, God had them leak out that information so he could do this. I believe that. I truly believe that. That just don't happen. You know? And I thank God for it, and I gave him the glory for it. Trust me. Everyone I talk to, I tell them, it was God. I'm telling you right now, it was God. Because they know I'm a Christian. I mean, the people at my old job, they wouldn't even swear around me. If they did, they'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know? But we got to give God glory in every situation. See, really, I should have been giving God glory for even the trial I was going through, but I couldn't see that far because I was nervous. I mean, you're talking about picking up and just moving, just like that. I mean, we only had 8 days to make a decision. And see, the thing of it was, if you canceled, if you said, no, I refuse, then you lose all your benefits. You go on a leave of absence, and you don't get no insurance. You can't collect unemployment because you just turned down a job. So see, GM was forcing us to make decisions. And I'm just happy and thankful that the Lord was watching out for me. Yeah? What? Oh, he said, when do I start? I was talking to Pastor John yesterday. I mean, actually, I got till this Tuesday to make my decision, which I'm going to tomorrow. But I told him, the funny thing is, I got to tell them whether I want the job by August 4th, and then they don't want me to report to work till September 21st. And I was like, yes! And Pastor John was like, yes, I can have you speak again! Give glory to God. I said, okay, you got me, Pastor. You got me on that one. But that was a great story. It's a true story. And my wife is just ecstatic that she doesn't have to leave, you know. It's just the power of God that he can do anything. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And that's what we did. You know, I was praying in the beginning that I could just stay here somewhere in Michigan. Pastor Don, he was like, huh, tell him we want Romulus. He's going to give you something. Give me what you want. I'm going to start doing that next time, brother. I'm going to be precise. I want Romulus in a clean room where Ray works. No, so anyways, Don and myself, our kids, and the church were praying for God to do a miracle, and he did. It looked bleak, but my God, my Father, made the impossible possible. We never stopped praying, and he never let me go. He never let me go. Even though it looked bleak, he said, I got you. It's my will, not GM's will. So I'm just going to close with this last scripture. It's kind of long, so bear with me. It's Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. And just pay attention to the words because it's just so awesome. It says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba for your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Oh, that, I got goosebumps. Oh no, I'm not going to cry, Pastor John. Quit looking at me. That really just like pricked my heart. That verse, whom I created for my glory. See, God takes us to the trials so that we can be glorified, and in turn, we glorify Him. You know, not by my hand, but by God's hand. I did talk to multiple co-workers and gave glory to our Father for what He has done and what He has yet to do. We all need to do the same, amen? So never give up. Never lose hope. He's always with you. Read His Word. Study it. Eat it. Crunch it. Because it builds you up. Amen? Well, let's just go ahead and close. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, we just thank You for this day, Lord. Father, we thank You for the trials You do send our way, Father God. And Father, we know that You're with us, Lord. And we know that it's best for us. It builds us character, Lord God. It matures us. It strengthens us. It allows us to glorify You, Father God, in everything, Lord. Father, my prayer here is that we leave here today more built up, more closer to You, Father God, and that we share You with others and glorify You in all we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen.
I know You've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, and I stand before You now. Though I've never sinned, but today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from You leaving me this way. Jesus, can You show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of Your mercy I find rest. But You know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other.